Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I hope that you could sing that song with every part of your soul this morning. I hope you know today that if you have Jesus Christ, that you've been redeemed, that you've been set free, that every chain has been broken from you. Sometimes ministry is hard. Sometimes it's so hard that we just want to give up. Sometimes when persecution and suffering comes, sometimes we think it's just easier to throw it all away. Never forsake the opportunities that you get. Never think you don't have a ministry. If you have Jesus Christ, you're presented with so much opportunity to share the mystery of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Through God's mercy, He has given us this ministry. He has given us the ministries within this church. He has hopefully given you a ministry in your daily life through work or school or whatever you might do. Hopefully you understand that you have a ministry. Verse 2 says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. So many people distort the word of God. There are so many feel-good churches out there. So many churches that will take the word of God and try to make it so they can bring people in. Paul here says, we do not distort the word of God. But he says this, he says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. He says here in the beginning, he says, we do not preach deception. See, Paul, he always had this problem. He always had this problem with all the churches that he would go to, thinking that Paul wasn't qualified enough. That Paul wasn't really an apostle. Every time it seemed like he always had to tell the people why he was here. But he says he preaches the gospel plainly. He preaches the gospel with integrity. Can you say that today, church? Can you say that you went out in the world and you've told somebody the gospel plainly with truth? There is no other way to preach the gospel than truth. He says in verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If you were here on Wednesday, Jimmy stole my thunder just a little bit. He mentioned these couple of verses right here. He says in verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, Satan's sole purpose in life is to blind the minds of unbelievers. To blind them from the hope that the gospel brings. To blind them from hopefully the very same hope that you have here today. Think about it. Think about the people in your life who might be blinded by the God of this age. Who might not truly know the hope and the salvation that the gospel brings. See, it all comes down to this next verse, though. What Paul says here. So in verse 5 it says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. See, Paul here says, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach the one who can make the blind see. The one that can take the unbelievers and show them the hope. Show them the salvation. I hope to know that you can't bring anybody to salvation. Only Jesus Christ can do that. What does your life reflect today? Does it reflect yourself? Does it reflect God? What does your life reflect? If you looked in the mirror, who would you see? See, if churches would get on the same bandwagon and if they would preach the gospel instead of themselves, where would the church be? If we had churches who never gave up preaching the gospel, where would we be? If Moses gave up in the wilderness, where would we be? If Joshua, after he took Moses' place, would have given up, where would we be? If David would have given up, where would we be? If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have gave up, where would we be? If Joseph and Mary would have gave up, where would we be? There is so much we do not realize. Sometimes it's so easy for us to quit in this life. It is so hard. Ministry can be so hard. It can make you fatigued. It can feel painful. It can make you weary. But when we preach Jesus, we can endure. When we preach Jesus, we can endure the suffering that it brings. See, here's something amazing that I can't quite comprehend. Something that just blows my mind. It says in verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that this all-suppressing power is from God and not from us. Do you understand that you've been entrusted with the knowledge of God? Did you know God's word says, when much is given, much is required? Do you know you have a responsibility to share the knowledge of God with others? It is your sole responsibility to let people know the mystery of the gospel. See, he says here, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. What he's saying here is, we in our weak and fragile bodies have been entrusted with the all-suppressing power of God. We don't deserve this all-suppressing power, but God has given it to us. When you hear about treasure, what do you mostly think of? You think of somebody digging a hole, digging it as far as they can dig it, and placing it in the ground and burying it. See, so many of us will take this treasure, take this knowledge of God, and bury it. We bury it in the ground and we never use this treasure. We never open it up because we're afraid we're going to break it. We're afraid because we're so weak and fragile that we can't do it. It's just easier to give up and dig it in the ground. It's just easier to hide it. It's easier to show people that we don't have this all-suppressing power. To show that this all-suppressing power is from God. Paul could have never done anything without this power. I hope today you know that you can't do anything without God. I hope you know today that everything you do in ministry should be for God. Everything you do should be about God. And you should run the ministry in your life with God. Not on your own time, but on God's time. See, we have more power in our bodies than we can ever imagine. There are things in this life that we could actually endure if somehow we use this treasure that God has given us. If somehow we picked up the Bible and actually applied it. See, here in these next verses is why the church and Christians fail. Here in these next few verses is why so many of us just give up. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So many of us become crushed and give up. So many of us become perplexed and we just give up. So many of us become struck down and we don't want to get back up. Do you understand what's at stake? Do you understand what the mystery of the gospel actually holds? Do you know the gospel changes lives? I hope you know that today. I hope you know that the gospel has changed your life. I hope you know today that God has taken the old and made it new. I hope you know today that you are a child of God. That once you weren't, but because of the mystery of the gospel, because you have accepted Jesus Christ, he has made you into a new creation. You become clothed with Christ. We're going to read some verses here in 1 Peter that might be a little hard to hear, because suffering sometimes is always hard to hear. First Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 20. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin, to live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Chapter 4. Verse 16 says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. But praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Chapter 5, verse 10 says, let's start in verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who had called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Those verses can be hard to chew on. What are they all about? suffering. All those verses are about suffering. Suffering for what? Suffering just to suffer? No, suffering for God, an eternal glory that outweighs them all. It says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Looking, seeking for someone to devour. The only one, the only thing that can put a stop to that is the gospel. When we actually use this all-suppressing knowledge that God has given us, when we understand the treasure and how precious, more priceless than rubies, we must learn how to suffer as Christ suffered. Do you understand Christ suffered for you? Do you understand that He paid the ultimate price on the cross for you? That He was beaten and bruised for you? So that you might live for Him. So that you might have a home that's not here where all the suffering is, but you have a home in heaven. He says in verse 10, and the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. Sometimes suffering can feel like an eternity. Sometimes we think the suffering's never going to end. Sometimes we think it's a hit after a hit after a hit. After we've suffered just a little while, will Himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You know Jesus Christ is the only one that can make you strong? You know He's the only one that can make you firm and steadfast? When we put our full obedience and trust in God, then can we endure suffering. I hope today each and every one of you want to endure suffering, because I can promise you this, it will come. Suffering always comes to the believer. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For the light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. See, some of you today might be saying, well, Philip, you've been talking about never giving up, but how on earth do we never give up? Paul lays it out pretty plainly right here for us. He says, we are being renewed day by day. How are we being renewed day by day? How can we do this? By being saturated in God. By being saturated in God's Word. By being saturated in prayer. By being saturated with other believers. See, God has given us something. God has given us this treasure. God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us this treasure that is our comforter. He is our encourager. He does so many things for us, yet we bury Him. And we wonder why we can't endure the suffering. We wonder why we can't make it through this life, and it's just easier to give up, because we actually haven't understood the Holy Spirit. We haven't understood that this all-suppressing power that lives within us can actually be put forth into this world. In Galatians chapter 3, I want you guys to really understand this. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, that when we ask God, God can do immeasurably more than what we ask of Him. God loves and cares for us. He wants you to never give up. And if that wasn't the case, He wouldn't have told us three different times in this passage to never give up. I could sit up here the whole time and just tell you to never give up, never give up, never give up. But you must be inwardly renewed day by day. We must read God's Word. We must seek God's presence through prayer. God is our courage. We focus our eyes on what is eternal and important. James promises that when our faith is tested through trials, that endurance is produced. And that makes us mature and complete, not lacking any good thing. I'm going to read that here in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, how on earth should I consider it pure joy when I face trials? How do I consider it pure joy when I face all kinds of sufferings? You can't do it. You can't do it unless you let God do it. We must learn to be renewed day by day. See, the things that drive us to our knees are never a bad thing. Those sufferings that drive us to our knees before the Almighty Father are never a bad thing. God wants us to be on our knees before Him. He wants us to ask Him for things. Why? So what He says earlier, so that His all-surpassing power may be revealed in you. So that people may come to the knowledge of God. So people may come to salvation. It also reminds us that this is not our home. This here is not our home. Those momentary troubles, those things we wish would go away, remember this. If you have Jesus Christ today, this is not your home. One more thing that Paul says here. We must fix our eyes on the unseen and eternal. If all we did was go through life and look at the scene, look at the things in front of us, we'll always come short. We'll always give up because it's not what we want. See, it is human nature to hold on to what we see. It's human nature to look at all the problems and see them right there. But we must learn to put our faith in the unseen. We must learn to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this: never give up doing good, for in due time you will reap the harvest. Those seeds you may have planted within your family, hoping, praying that they would come to the mystery of the gospel. Never, never give up doing those things. Those people at work that you might say would never, never come to the knowledge of God. Never give up doing good, for in due time you will reap a harvest. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I hope you know that you can't take your possessions with you to heaven. Those earthly things that you get here, the money, the materials, you don't get those things in heaven. So it's better for you to focus on the unseen It's better to focus on the eternal glory that far outweighs all of those things, that far outweighs those momentary troubles in this life. Do you know there's nothing that you can endure? There's nothing that can stand in your way when you realize how to surrender to Christ. When you realize that you have to take your cross up daily. This isn't a one-time thing. Romans, read a lot of verses today. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Maybe today you thought in the very beginning, well, I don't have a ministry. I don't have a ministry. How do I know what my ministry is? Romans chapter 12 just told you. It just told you what to do. It says, offer your bodies up as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means surrender to God daily. It means to take up your cross daily. It means to be saturated in the Word of God daily. How many of us today can we say that we're saturated in God's Word? That we let God's Word fuel our lives? That we focus on the unseen instead of the seen? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That same idea of being renewed daily, day by day, is the same idea here about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. This isn't something that is done once. So many of us can sit on the pews today. So many of us can sit on the pews, go home, and hide that treasure. So many of us know people who need that treasure. I'm sure every person in this room today knows somebody who needs the knowledge of God, who needs the mystery of the gospel. Church, it is time to be ambassadors for Christ. It is time to not distort the Word of God. It is time to preach the truth plainly, boldly, fearlessly. It's time to understand who God is in your life. When you look in that mirror, who is God in your life? Do you see Him in your life today? Do you see Him in your life today? I want you to think about that right now. These things aren't things to be taken lightly. Because of what I said earlier, there are people in your life you know that need this. I have close family members who need it, and I'm sure the same can be said for you today. I have friends who need it. There are so many people in our lives that need Christ. What has Christ done for you? Why should we suffer for Christ? What is God doing in your lives today? If you say, well, I don't know. If you say nothing, I would encourage you to reevaluate your life. And know that God is with you every day. Know that God is walking beside you every day. When you have the thoughts of giving up, When those thoughts come across and you say, it is easier for me just to sit than it is to go. It is easier for me to sit where I'm at than to go to all nations preaching the gospel. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that it's easy to be a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you're going to get your best life now in the Bible. Not materialistic wise. But I can tell you this from my own testimony, that there is more joy. There is more joy when I'm with God than when I'm away from Him. There is more peace with God than away from Him. And the world has been telling a big lie. The world has been telling the world this lie, that you can do everything by yourself. That you don't need Jesus Christ to save you. All you have to do is be a good person. Christ Himself says, who is good? Why do you call me good? For there's only one that is good, and that is the Father. We spend too much time on the scene. We look, we balance our checks, we ask, I have this much money, I can buy these things, I can do this, I can do this. We make this long list. We make this 15-year plan. Not saying you shouldn't plan, because you should. We spend so much time investing in this life. We spend so much time investing in the seen and never spend an ounce of our life investing in the unseen, the things that are eternal. Where are you investing? Are you investing in the seen? Are you investing in the unseen? I hope today you can say you're investing in the unseen, that you're working towards that eternal glory. You're working towards knowing what the Holy Spirit can do in your lives. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What a hard thing to do. But what a rewarding thing to do. We don't deserve what God has done for us. We are not worthy of what Christ has done for us, but by His grace we are saved. I hope you know today that His grace is sufficient enough. Even when you are faced with sufferings of unimaginable scales, that you know that Christ's grace, God's grace, is sufficient for you. I didn't know if I was going to share this story today, more because we just watched it last night at Fusion, so you did a good job, Randy. A guy by the name of Scott Hamilton, if anybody knows who that is, he is a world-renowned figure skater. He's won a gold medal. He started his own kind of skate thing. I don't really know what you call it, but basically they would just go around touring and skating and doing great things, but he was a person who never gave up. And the Fusion people that were there can attest to that. He's had cancer four times. Four times he's had cancer. He had testicular cancer, never thought he was going to have children. He has two biological children today. He has two adopted children. It seems like on every corner, this Scott Hamilton gets bad news, but his testimony speaks louder. He says he gives God all the glory, even in the face of his suffering. He says with Jesus, he said these three things. He says, I am content. I have love. And I have peace. Can you be content with your life today? Can you understand that you are loved today? Can you understand that God gives you peace? Peace that transcends all understanding. We don't deserve what Christ did for us on that cross. But see, He didn't die for the just for the people in this room. He didn't just die for you and me. He died for the righteous and the unrighteous. He died for my mom. He died for my dad. He died for your mom, your dad. He died for your friends and all aspects of your family. But sometimes all we want to do is bury that treasure. Sometimes all we want to do is be ashamed of the gospel. I really want you to take a moment to reflect your life. Am I really truly showing the knowledge of God? Or am I just going with the scene? As we stand, the altar is open. Maybe there is a person in your life that needs the knowledge of God. Maybe there's a person in your life that you know needs Jesus with everything. You can intercede for them today.